We bring you two homilies from a series given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is well known as a spiritual guide, retreat master, and author. One of his latest books is Holiness in the Church. He is the author of the renowned Catholic Catechism, which has been strongly endorsed by Holy Mother Church. In these homilies, Father Hardin very pointedly brings out a specific virtue that can be gleaned from the scripture readings of the day. And he then makes a practical application to our daily living. Anyone listening often to these beautiful meditations will be encouraged and inspired to determine to follow Christ more closely in his or her particular state in life. In the following meditative homily, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, The Silence of St. Joseph. Father Hardin.
Over the centuries now, Wednesdays have been specially dedicated to St. Joseph. It is not without good reason, though the Church encourages us to practice constant, daily devotion to the foster father of Jesus and the spouse of Mary. He has been declared, and by now the Church appreciates the fact, as the patron of the universal Church. And undoubtedly, the first object of our devotion to St. Joseph should be to invoke his aid to protect and guide and defend us individually and to protect the Church that his foster son founded. And surely, especially in our days, the Church needs, how she needs, the protection of Joseph. Nevertheless, as important and even primary as should be our invocation of Joseph, being devoted to him is not only asking for his aid, it is also imitating his virtues. And here we might go through the litany of St. Joseph, through all the variety of virtues which the Church bids us study in the saintly life of this great man, and with the grace of Christ, set about putting them into practice. There are so many virtues of Joseph to imitate. But there is one, and I dare say the most unexpected one, on which I should like to spend a few minutes in prayerful reflection. And that is, of all things, his virtue of silence. Joseph occurs at some of the most dramatic moments in the life of Jesus. He occurs when Mary was with the child Jesus in her womb. Joseph reacted as any normal and especially any good man would react. He received heavenly counsel, but we are not told that he said anything. During the long journey to Bethlehem, angels and shepherds and magi have much to say, but not Joseph. At the presentation, at the finding in the temple, in all those significant events narrated in the early life of the Savior, even Mary does some talking, but not Joseph. We are sure he did speak, but undoubtedly the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Gospels, telling us about this great man, wanted us to learn something that especially in our talkative age of communication, we so badly need to learn: the value and the meaning and the depth of silence. We might begin by asking ourselves, what is silence? Silence is many things, but especially three. Silence is restraint of speech. Silence is control of thought. Silence is selective conversation. Silence is restraint of our speech. When I keep silent, I do not express myself mainly in words, though I should add immediately, for some people, silence is not only restraint of speech, it is also restraint of bodily language, restraint of gesture, restraint of frown, restraint of grimace, restraint of all those thousand ways in which we can subtly communicate what we think and how we feel, even without saying a word. Does it mean the practice of virtue when we restrain our speech? Oh, indeed. The practice of the virtue of charity, when I know from the way I am now feeling, maybe from what I now see or experience, whatever I would say would offend. It means that I practice patience, which more prosaically means I suffer, that I endure, take, and retain within, rather than, as so often happens, and may I add, among even some of the holiest of us, there is a streak of vengeance where one word just to hurt back. Silence in restraining my speech means that I will not express myself in circumstances, and how important this is, in circumstances when I cannot really divulge what I know or what I really think without betraying a confidence, without saying more than I should. And as a consequence, failing that almost most important condition of friendship and love that I keep to myself what others have given to me, and I do not share with others. When I restrain my speech, how I protect my integrity, my truthfulness. In a word, there is almost no virtue that is not called upon to be practiced when I practice silence in restraining my speech. But behind silence as a restraint of talking, whether verbally or bodily, is the most difficult asceticism known to Christianity, namely, the control of my thoughts. Indeed, if I wish to restrain my speech as I must, if I am not to fail against almost every virtue, I must learn to conquer self in that inner citadel which is my mind. If I'm going to practice the kind of silence that God wants me to practice, I must have mastered my inner self, or my feelings and my thoughts, my urges and fears are constantly asserting themselves and clamoring for attention. Time and again, the Savior in the Gospel tells us that we are as good followers of Himself as we practice self-denial, with a stress on the first part of that expression, self-denial. And if we ask, what part of self do we most have to mortify? Do we most frequently have to seek to conquer? Do we constantly have to be on the guard against its manifestations down deep inside of pride and envy and lust and anger? It is our thoughts. This is what the interior life is all about. That's the interior. It is that inner recess of the human spirit that, as we know, though no one else realizes what a struggle may be going on. But we know when God knows. We must either conquer or be conquered. Silence is mastery of the mind. And all other virtues will be only as faithfully practiced as we have learned the secret of sanctity. And it is with the grace of God to have conquered self inside the self. All of this and all that it implies is locked up in that simple single word, silence. But silence is not only, though also, restraint of speech and mastery of our inner desires and thoughts. Silence, as the Church over the centuries has taught us, and as the saint on whom we are reflecting teaches us, it is especially selective conversation. Because when I am silent, in the sense of not communicating with other human beings, I am communicating by preference with that one being in whose company I should, as much as I humanly can, be conversing. Silence then means selective conversation with God. It means communicating with the invisible world of the Trinity, of the angels and saints. It means that I choose to be in the company of that God who wants me especially to speak with Him, even though necessarily when I am talking with Him, I am perforce not talking to others. They may call it silence, but I know better. I am talking to my heart's content. And how profoundly meaningful is that expression? To my heart's content with the one who alone can content my heart. You see, we are all social beings. We all want to talk. We want to converse. The strongest desire of the human heart is to communicate, to share. The only question, but the most important one, is who we choose to communicate with. How sad that so many human beings find, it would seem, their only satisfaction in conversing with other human beings. What a cheap and, in so many ways, unworthy use of our highest faculty as social beings, to choose to speak with weak creatures of flesh like us, when we could be and should be communicating with the infinite. All of this and more, Joseph, the silent man, teaches us. Let us ask him, through the merits of Jesus, with whom we are sure he was in frequent, I even believe, animated conversation, to help us understand that silence is not only a virtue, it is the substratum of all the deepest virtues that we are called upon to practice. Silent means the sacrifice of our desire to communicate with human beings when God prefers that we do not. Silence means the sacrifice of the noblest faculty we have, our minds. Therefore, minds not spend themselves, waste their God-given power of thought on what is not worthy of the mind, but above all, silence, shall we still call it silence, is union of spirits between the creature and its creator. Silence on earth is a foretaste of heaven, which only those who seriously and sincerely try to practice can appreciate. Please God, through the merits of Joseph, we shall have learned something of the meaning of this so much neglected but most important virtue of silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.